All right. Title of tonight's message is Silent Night with a question mark, Holy Night with an exclamation point. So you can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Christmas Eve, the night before Jesus' birth. When we read the scriptures in Luke, which are referred to as the Christmas story, I also thought it could be called the rescue story. Like the song Rescue Story by Zach Williams, it goes, Jesus, you are my rescue story. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You are my rescue story. Folks, He is our rescue story. But for tonight, it's about the Christmas story. When you hear the Christmas story, you get a picture in your head of what things must have looked like at the birth of Jesus. And when you look at the songs, you look at the pictures that we have, they plant an image in you. Well, sometimes it's interesting to find out how others envision that scene. And I recently read about a children's Sunday school class that heard the Christmas story and sang the beloved Christmas carol, Silent Night. Then they were asked to draw what they thought the nativity scene might have looked like. Well, one little fella, he did a good likeness of Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. But off to the side was a roly-poly looking figure. The teacher, thinking that the boy had somehow worked Santa Claus into the scene, asked him who that was. The teacher was amazed, but she wasn't sure whether she was relieved or even more worried when the boy responded, "Oh, that's Round John Virgin." You're there in Luke. Okay, chapter 2. Verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that when they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them was very great. Can you imagine the lighting? Kind of got your attention, didn't it? Can you imagine a pitch black night and those shepherds out there? Boom! And the lights go on? I think I'd be frightened too. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Light's not going to hurt you. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey guys, you know what? We better get together. We better go to this Bethlehem and see what's happening down there. You know, this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. Oh, I'll bet they did. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. This gives us a picture of that night in our mind, does it not? But if we were to really be truthful, we would admit that our picture of the birth of Jesus is influenced more by Christmas carols and Christmas cards than the actual account given to us in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Are you in agreement with that? I mean, think about it. What influences us more? Those songs and the pictures. All those beautiful Christmas cards you get. And that's because the gospel accounts are a little short on the details. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 25, and the New Revised Standard Version, simply says this about that wonderful night. Joseph had no marital relations with her until she had bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of Luke gives us a bit more information about that night. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And just so you know, they could afford it because they went down to register to be taxed. Poor people don't have to register for taxes. So he didn't come from a poor family. There was just no place for them. And I hate to burst everybody's bubble, but Scripture doesn't say anything about Jesus being born in the wintertime. Okay, so forget all your wintry scenes. And the wise men, they weren't there either. And they weren't there the next day either. Everybody pictures the wise men there. They weren't there, folks. But see, when we see it, my nativity scene in the front yard, I have the three wise men there. Yeah. They weren't there. But when that picture, you plant that's in your head. You can see them at that manger. They're sitting there. Those three wise men. Well, sorry. The celebration of his birth on December 25th has long been a complicated history. Believe me, I studied that. We ain't got time to get into that. It's no wonder then that we depend upon these Christmas carols to draw the fuller picture of the birth of Jesus. You take, for example, that song, Silent Night. The song was first performed on Christmas Eve in 1818, a long time ago. A young priest, Father Joseph Moore, wrote the lyrics in 1816. And on the morning of Christmas Eve in 1818, he gave them to his organist. He had them for 2 years, Francis Xavier Gruber, and asked him to compose a medley and a guitar accompaniment for the Christmas Eve Mass that night. And he did it. He did it. That is pretty amazing. That's God. But if you look at the first couple words in the verse there, it says, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Now, think about that for a moment. Silent night? Yeah, right, silent night. How many of you have ever been present at the birth of a child? Huh? Come on now, be honest. Was it silent? Chris, was it silent? Hey, Mark, was it silent? Look, Mark, he went, oh, no. No. You know, maybe if the mom was, if they had her on drugs or had one of them taps in there where they kill all those nerves for a moment. You know. But come on, folks. Childbirth is noisy. Very loud. I went through that, and I remember sitting there with my new digital watch that I had, and Teresa had these contractions, and I was trying to set it with a pen, and I drove that pen right through that phone. Because when she grabbed a hold and screamed and squeezed my wrist, I thought she cut the circulation off. And think about where Jesus was born. Think about where Jesus was born. Remember what the Bible story tells us? Bethlehem was crowded with visitors coming home to register for the census. It was so crowded there was no room for Joseph and his pregnant wife, Mary, at the hotel in Bethlehem. Now, may I point out something to you? They were married at this time. Yeah. Because in Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, the New Revised Standard Edition. And I went back to the King James just to make sure I went, you know, back as far as I can. But you research it out. It's really interesting. When Joseph awoke from sleep in his dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. They got married, folks. But they had no marital relations with her until she had bore a son. And he named him Jesus. So room was made for them in the only warm place that was available. The stable. Right, warm. Didn't have forced gas air. Didn't have electric. And you couldn't build a fire there because it was full of straw. Right, it was warm. Jesus was born among the resident animals there. Probably cows, donkeys, some sheep, some goats. So you think about that. He was born to the background music of moo. Bah, hee-haw, hee-haw. Silent night, right? I don't think so. And how about that all is calm part of the song? Let's see. A baby born in a stable, shepherds visiting, angelic choirs singing overhead. Doesn't sound like it was a very calm situation to me at all. And yet, when we picture this scene, we don't picture the noisy chaos, do we? Mm-mm. But it was going on, folks. That video that was playing while the girls were singing, did you see that? That girl was, I don't know if she was just acting, but there was a lot of sweat. There was a lot of stress. There was a lot going on there. But we picture exactly what the song says. A silent night, a holy night, where all is calm, and all is bright. And you know, in a sense, I think we are not totally wrong. I like to think that in the midst of all this noisy childhood chaos, this birth, there was a sense of calm, a sense of holiness, because the power of God was upon that little stable. And it was surrounding Mary, Joseph, and their newborn babe. You see, it may not have been a truly silent night, but it was indeed a holy night. It was a holy night because in the birth of that little child, God had fulfilled a promise made to the people of Israel thousands of years before. God had made a promise to send a Savior, a Messiah, an anointed one who would deliver the people from their oppressors and would free them from their sins. And this was not a joy meant only for Israel. The prophets had proclaimed that the Messiah would not only be there for the sake of Israel, but for the sake of all nations, all the people. That's us included. Because in verse 10 in Luke, it said, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" All people. And that holy night, there came a baby. And a baby came, and that baby changed everything. A baby who grew up to be the promised Messiah. It was a holy night because all of God's plans and purposes were coming together. The glorious night of Jesus' birth was but the beginning of the story that would lead us some 30 years later to the glorious resurrection morning of Easter. The child that was born would grow up to be a teacher, a preacher, a healer. Most of all, a Savior. The child Jesus would grow up to take upon himself the righteous punishment of God for the sins of all humanity, dying on our behalf, brutally and cruelly beaten and tortured and crucified on a cross. But that was not the end of the plan. No, not of God's plan. For death could not hold the Son of God. Couldn't hold him down. Jesus was resurrected by the power of God. He rose from the dead. He rejoined his Father in the heavenly places. He's sitting at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for you and me. And he promised that he will come again to bring final peace to our world. On that holy night, a baby was born, a baby that changed everything, who would grow up to be our Lord and our Savior. It was a holy night because it was God Himself who was born. See, this is the eternal mystery of God, that He is three in one. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit. The child born to Mary was not an earthly child. Although he was human, his father was not the man Joseph, but Joseph lovingly raised Jesus through his early years. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel Gabriel answered and said to Mary, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The child's father was the highest. And that's God. Jesus was one being with God. Jesus was with God at the creation of the world. Jesus was the Word. With a capital W, my brother. With a capital W. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word, Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. No wonder the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." On who He favors. That's you and me, folks. That's you and me. That's how much favor we have with Him. You got to stop and think about what the Scriptures say. On that holy night, a baby changed everything. A baby that was born. That was God Himself. Yeah. God Himself. Three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we sing the beloved Christmas carol, Silent Night, we got to grasp in our hearts and souls an essential truth from this. It may not have been a very silent night, but it was indeed a holy night. A night that would change our lives forever. On that holy night, a baby was born who was God Himself, who would grow up to be the Messiah, our Lord, and our Savior. On that holy night, God gave us His greatest gift, salvation. Salvation. The Hebrew word for salvation, Yeshua. Y-E-S-H-U. A, Yeshua. Yeshua, Strong's 3442, the name many use for the name Jesus. His greatest gift, His only begotten Son, all we have to do is accept that gift and believe. Believe. As the last verse of Silent Night so beautifully proclaims, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from Thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. Thanks be to God for His glorious Christmas gift to all of us. Given on that not so silent night, but definitely a holy night. Tonight, if you have never received the gift of Jesus, I want to re-gift that to you. Because see, years ago, back in 1987, in fact, I accepted and received that gift. And it changed my life. Because, see, that's when they say you get saved. Yeah, I got saved. And I got saved to the bone, folks. And it was made so easy for me that day. It's a simple prayer that you say. Pastor Bannon said, with every head bowed and every eye closed. And everybody is supposed to bow their heads and close their eyes. And he says, if there's anyone who wants to make Jesus their Lord and Savior, raise your hand. I raised my hand. And he says, okay, put those hands down. And he says, This is a prayer we're going to say. He says, in fact, I'd invite everyone to say it with me. And he made it so easy for me. And tonight, I'd like to do the same thing for you. With every head bowed right now, and every eye closed, if you want to accept Jesus this night, accept the gift, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Okay, put your hands down. All of us tonight, let us say this prayer together. Say, oh God in heaven, thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus. I know that I have sinned against you. Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, was placed in the grave, and in 3 days was raised from the grave, ever living, to make intercession for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Amen. And that gift, the more you unwrap it, and how you unwrap it is through the Word of God. It will become more and more real to you. You will develop a relationship. And I have through the years. Amen. Thank you. And at this time, we're going to...